Good evening, and as per usual, right before we dive into this story on illegal aliens, I'll quickly mention that if you are looking for an honest source of news, consider trying the Epoc Times. They've recently extended their Labor Day sale, which is, again, funny given the fact that Labor Day was like a week and a half ago. Regardless, the Labor Day sale is still active, and you can try the Epoc Times for just 50 cents a week for the whole year. And with that, you can get access to everything, all the infographics, the articles, the videos, the documentaries, the analysis pieces, basically everything that we have up there. And so if you've been looking for an honest source of news that actually respects your intelligence, consider trying the Epoc Times. I'll throw the link. It'll be right there at the top of the description box below. Just click on that link. You can try the Epoc Times, 50 cents a week for the whole year. You can cancel any time, so there's no risk. And also, they're offering 2 free gifts when you sign up. Click on that link and find out what those gifts are. Now, getting to the actual story, on Monday, September the 8th, you had the U.S. Supreme Court rule in favor of the Trump administration, and in so doing, they're allowing them once again to have ICE agents ramp up their operations over in L.A. County. Let me give you a brief backstory of the Supreme Court ruling. Starting in early June 2025, ICE began a series of operations in and around the Los Angeles area. Specifically, on June 6th, you had the feds begin conducting operations in California that they termed targeted enforcement actions. And they were focusing on individuals with either criminal histories and or final deportation orders. Meaning, at the time, they were looking for either illegal aliens who had criminal records, besides just entering the country illegally, as well as those illegal aliens who were already set to be deported by an actual immigration judge. Now, the search warrants for these individuals, they were executed in many different types of places, including workplaces like garment factories, Home Depot parking lots, car washes, bus stops, outside of courthouses, and even just on the street. Now, the MO for the feds would be to basically roll up in unmarked vehicles, block any exits, jump out, grab the people, detain them, and then sort out everything later. And what I just described to you, by the way, was just the first day. Within the first month, ICE had arrested well over 4,000 people in Los Angeles alone. Now, obviously, when dragnet operations like this are being conducted, people who are not necessarily the intended targets are going to be swept up as well. Especially, I should mention, in Southern California, where, according to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, quote, about 10% of people in the Los Angeles region are unlawfully present in the United States, which means that there are about 2 million illegal immigrants living among a population of 20 million. And so that is exactly what happened here. According to an analysis that was conducted by the LA Times, they found, after looking at the numbers, that the majority of the people being swept up by these ICE raids, they were illegal aliens, but they actually did not have prior criminal histories, again, aside from entering the country illegally. Quote, from June 1st to June 26th, Immigration and Customs Enforcement data showed 2,031 people were arrested in a 7-county area. That was before, by the way, those numbers were revised up. About 68% of those had no criminal convictions, and 57% had never been charged with a crime. The new information sheds light on the people caught up in the government crackdown. The arrest data comes from the Deportation Data Project, consisting of a group of lawyers and academics who received information as part of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. Now, obviously, you can make the argument that regardless of whether or not these individuals had prior criminal histories, if they were in the country illegally, then that was grounds enough for them getting swept up by ICE. Now, that's a separate discussion. What's worth noting here, though, is that because the White House, the messaging that was coming out of the White House, was that the feds were specifically targeting those with criminal records, the fact that they were actually sweeping up a lot of people without criminal records became something of a sticking point. And so these dragnet operations in June, they led to 2 things. Firstly, they led to protests, which then turned into riots. You might remember some of the images that were coming out of these protests over the summer, such as that iconic image of that burned out Waymo self-driving car. You had the 101 freeway being shut down by protesters. The National Guard and the U.S. Marines were deployed to L.A. in order to keep the peace and stop the protests from escalating further. And by the end of it, within about 4 or 5 days, the LAPD wound up arresting about 50 people total. And so that was the backlash on the streets. On the legal side of things, you had the ACLU filing a lawsuit against the federal government, against the Trump administration, on behalf of several of the detainees that were captured by ICE. Now, the ACLU's argument was threefold. They alleged that, for one, the arrest violated the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures. Secondly, that these stops conducted by ICE were based solely on discriminatory factors, things like a person's race or ethnicity, whether or not they were speaking Spanish or whether they were speaking English with an accent, things like that. And then thirdly, the ACLU also alleged that the detainees were denied access to lawyers, which violated their Fifth Amendment rights. Now, very shortly, a federal judge actually sided with the ACLU, and she issued two temporary restraining orders. Specifically, on July 11th, you had District Judge Maame Iwusi-Mensah Frimpong, I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. She was appointed to the bench by Joe Biden, and her order basically put severe limits on what federal ICE agents could actually do. Quote, specifically, Judge Frimpong barred the Department of Homeland Security from stopping or arresting individuals based exclusively on factors such as the language the person speaks or where the person works. In her order, she wrote that the federal government's use of roving patrols that are indiscriminately rounding up numerous individuals without reasonable suspicion is unconstitutional, and that DHS may not carry out detentive stops unless the law enforcement official has reasonable suspicion that the person to be stopped is within the United States in violation of U.S. immigration law. When deciding if they have reasonable suspicion to make a detentive stop, DHS agents may not rely solely on apparent race or ethnicity, speaking Spanish or speaking English with an accent, presence at a particular location, such as a bus stop, car wash, tow yard, day labor, pickup site, agricultural site, etc., or the type of work one does. And so again, this restraining order was issued on July 11th, and it put severe limitations on what ICE could actually do. Now, the Trump administration, they filed an emergency appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court, which wound up coming through on Monday of this week. In a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court, they decided to put what's known as a stay on this restraining order. Basically, they overrode the restraining order. To put it into simple terms, essentially, this restraining order was put into place so that while the legal case plays itself out in court and it can take years, ICE cannot run their operations. However, with this new Supreme Court decision, what that means in a practical sense is that while the case will continue to play itself out in court, ICE will be allowed to once again do what they were doing back in June of this year. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court decision was split with Justices Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Sam Alito, John Roberts, as well as Clarence Thomas, all ruling in favor of the Trump administration's position. Now, interestingly, there was no majority opinion in this particular case, but there was a concurring opinion that was issued by Justice Kavanaugh, wherein he explained his own rationale for lifting the restraining order. And in it, there were two points I want to highlight. The first is that he discussed the federal government's duty to enforce the immigration laws that are already on the books. Quote, the fact remains that under the laws passed by Congress and the president, illegal aliens are acting illegally by remaining in the United States, at least unless Congress and the president choose some other legislative approach to legalize some or all of those individuals now illegally present in the country. And by illegally immigrating into and remaining in the country, they are not only violating the immigration laws, but also jumping in front of those non-citizens who follow the rules and wait in line to immigrate into the United States through the legal immigration process. He then went on to write that it is the legislative branch that makes the laws and then the president who signs the law into effect, not the judicial branch. Quote, it is also important to stress the proper role of the judiciary. The judiciary does not set immigration policy or decide enforcement priorities. It should come as no surprise that some administrations may be more laissez-faire in enforcing immigration law and other administrations more strict. Article 3 judges may have views on which policy approach is better or fairer, but judges are not appointed to make those policy calls. On the flip side, however, you had Justice Sonia Sotomayor write her own dissenting opinion, wherein she called this whole decision a troubling development. Quote, according to Justice Sotomayor, when the government's immigration enforcement operations began in Greater Los Angeles, teams of armed and masked agents pulled up to various locations and began seizing individuals on site, often before asking a single question. Instead of giving the district court time to examine these troubling allegations in the normal course, the majority here has decided to take the once extraordinary step of staying its order. This is yet another grave disuse of our emergency docket. We should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work in a low-wage job. However, regardless of the merits of that argument, her opinion was in the minority, and as such, ICE is now once again free to ramp up their operations in Southern California, meaning what was taking place in the beginning of June will now be likely taking place again in September, October, November, December, and so on. If you'd like to read what led up to this order, including the operations from June, the backlash against those operations, the ACLU legal filing, as well as the two opinions that came out of the U.S. Supreme Court regarding this case, I'll throw all those links down into the description box below if you're the type of person that likes to dig into the weeds. And then, as always, as you're making your way down there to that description box, smash that like button so this video can reach ever more people. And also smash that subscribe button as well if you haven't already. That way you can be subscribed to this channel and receive updates as soon as we publish them. And then lastly, I'll mention two things. One is that I recently launched a new YouTube show. It's called Primetime. Hope you check it out. It's kind of a big production. It's a bunch of crew on there. There's like five camera people. There's sound people. There's people on the back end in the control room. There's four other co-hosts, including, well, with myself, there's five people on the panel. So it's kind of a big production. It's a big show. We hope to grow it into like a big mainstream program. And join us on the ride. I'll throw the link to Primetime. It'll be down there in the description box below. We have a ton of great episodes on there already. And within the coming month, 2 months, we'll have a lot of good episodes on there. So hope you join us on that ride as well. And then also, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, the Epoch Times extended its Labor Day sale, which is funny. I mean, Labor Day is already like a week and a half old, but whatever. The Labor Day sale is still active. So if you want to take advantage of it, it's only 50 cents a week for the whole year. They're also offering two free gifts. So if you've been kind of like on the fence about subscribing to the Epoch Times, you know you want to try an honest news source, your local paper has folded, none of the other national outlets you can trust. Well, the Epoch Times is a good, solid, independent media, in my opinion. It's, I think, honestly, depending on how you measure it, it's either the third or the fourth largest newspaper in the country. I hope to make that number two soon and then number one. And so, yeah, hope you join it. It's kind of a, in my opinion, it's a good news source, not just because I work there. I mean, I work there because I align with their values. So it's like, you know, it's a chicken or the egg type of thing for me. But I really like it. I read it on a daily basis, and it really provides the news for me in a way that I feel like my intelligence is being respected by all the editors and the writers at the Epoch Times. I don't feel like they're pushing their opinions or narratives on me. We have a very strict separation of opinions and facts. And it's just a solid read that kind of leaves you informed and uplifted at the end of it. So check it out. If you're really looking for an honest source of news, I'll throw the link down there. It's 50 cents a week. You can cancel anytime. So if you don't like it, you can cancel. There's no risk. And again, there's two free gifts. They change the gifts periodically. So I would tell you what the gifts are, but I don't know. So click on that link. It'll show you what the gifts are. Subscribe to the Epoch Times. I'm sure you love it. And then until next time, I'm your host, Roman from the Epoch Times. Stay informed. And most importantly, stay free.